Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Simply by sitting and chanting Hare Krishna, you're satisfied and all your anxieties go away. Very simple process. There's no time restriction. There's no formalities. Have a seat. As I like to say, when in doubt, chant Hare Krishna. When in not in doubt, chant Hare Krishna. So, that means in all circumstances you can chant Hare Krishna. That is yoga. Because when you're chanting the holy name of Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Now you need the vision to understand that. And then you'll feel secure. It's natural that in this material world, everyone's always feeling insecure. Because this is not your home. What do you expect? By the covering power of Maya, you can, for some time, in some species, think you're content in the bodily conception of life. Lord Kapila Dev talks about this in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Chanturvai bhavai tasmin yam yam yonam anuruja. Lord Kapila Dev says, the amazing thing is that no matter what kind of body the conditioned soul takes, the conditioned soul is not averse to being that body. The conditioned soul doesn't feel out of place because of the covering potency of Maya. Yet, although that ignorance is there, still, there's always this anxiety of discomfort. Things just haven't fit right. In the human form of life, you can experience that. In the other species, no. This human form of life gives you the most valuable opportunity to make a solution to all these problems. So often I hear devotees talking about the anxieties of their past, how they're influencing the present. Or, even for young devotees, their anxieties of the present. We have to be practical about the nature of the world we're living in. This is not Vaikuntha, this is Kuntha, the place of anxieties. So naturally, even in your attempts to be Krishna conscious, you'll note a few anxieties due to the nature of this world, not due to the process of bhakti yoga. Now there is spiritual anxiety. That is simply how to serve Krishna better. Every devotee should have that spiritual anxiety. The perfection of spiritual anxiety is in Goloka Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda is always an anxiety about little Krishna.
He's crawling around on the ground in Vrindavan. There's sharp tools laying on the ground. There are monkeys that bite. There's fire. All sorts of things can happen to Bala Gopal as he's crawling on the ground. That is not material anxiety, though. That is spiritual anxiety. When Krishna is away for lunch, away for playing with his friends all day, and it's past the time for lunch, Mother Yashoda is in anxiety. He's hungry. He doesn't have enough energy. Besides, he's been playing in the sand all day. He needs a bath. This is anxiety. But because it's perfectly in relation to Krishna, it has none of the material taste of anxiety that we dread so much. No one likes material anxiety. I often say, you can be in a very physically comfortable situation, but if your mind is full of anxiety, oh, it's a very distraught feeling. No one likes their mind to be in anxiety, but this is the world of anxiety. Therefore, what is the solution? Intoxication. Can you imagine what this world would be like without intoxication? Some people consider that to be cruel. You have to have that in order to live. Otherwise, the anxiety level is too high. In Krishna consciousness, of course, we're squarely facing the issue of anxiety. You don't run away from it. We talk about it. We think about it. What is the nature of anxiety? What are the different types of anxiety? We know that whatever is there in the material world has to be there in the spiritual world, but in its original pure form and nature. Some devotees delight in hearing about spiritual anxiety. Followers of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement also have spiritual anxiety for how to engage others in Krishna's service. A devotee naturally feels, I'm not doing enough. I can do more. My heart can become softer and more expansive and more caring. That is a very productive kind of anxiety. How to take Krishna's service more seriously. How to put more effort into pleasing Krishna. Krishna is worthy of your being anxious to serve him. We had so many bad experiences, birth after birth, of being anxious to serve something or someone material. Maybe you can remember applying for a job you really wanted and filling out the application of a CV or something, you felt anxiety. Will they accept me? Similarly, the devotee is in anxiety. How can I improve my service to Krishna? But that is not material anxiety. A devotee never thinks, now my service is just right, I don't have to worry about it. No, a devotee sees unlimited opportunity for increasing the service to Krishna. And a genuine devotee always thinks, everyone else is serving Krishna so nicely, I'm not. Let me try better. Alright, we're going to read from Nectar of Devotion, which, as I've explained before, is a very important book, even if you don't understand it. And you won't understand all of it. You're not supposed to understand all of it immediately, in case you didn't know that. How many of you thought you're supposed to understand all of Nectar of Devotion immediately? Anyone think that in reading? Impossible. No, it can't be done. Didn't you go into a bit of a fog when you got into the second half? Yes, it's supposed to be like that. You don't know Krishna well enough. You're not attuned enough. You have to do more service. That was Prabhupada's instruction about reading Nectar Devotion. Just read it and read it and go on your devotional service, and gradually it will start to dawn on you. Not that every time you get to something you don't understand, write a letter, Prabhupada, what is this? Prabhupada, what is that? You just need to be patient, but determined. So Nectar Devotion is one of those books that you cannot understand right away. But as you immerse yourself in devotional service, it becomes more and more apparent to you. Anything about Krishna is actually like that. But especially when you're hearing about relationships with Krishna, loving exchanges with Krishna, these topics are far beyond our material conceptions. So when you're reading Nectar Devotion, you'll start to feel like you're waking up from a deep sleep. At first you're kind of hazy and groggy as you read. And then, through intense devotional service, you start to notice you're perking up a bit when you read it. Some bells start to go off. So this book is meant to accompany you all in your life. Things that just don't seem to make sense to you, or you can't follow it, or it just seems maybe too intense sometimes, just paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of nectar. It's too intense. It's too personal, right? Didn't you get that feeling? It's just too personal. But as you become more and more purified, you'll see, yes, this is the nectar I'm always anxious for. That's why it's called Nectar Devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of loving devotion and nectar. Even if you don't understand, the hearing does you so much good. This is chapter 39, Ways of Meeting Krishna. When Krishna and his devotees meet, the meeting is technically called yoga, or linking up with the Lord. Such meetings between Krishna and his devotees can be divided into three classes, namely perfection, satisfaction, and steadiness. These are the three classes of meetings, yoga, with the Lord and his devotees. So let's hear about the first class, perfection. When the devotee meets with Krishna in great eagerness, that state of meeting is called perfection. So now you'll get an example of meeting Krishna in perfection. To get an example of eagerness. In the Krishna Karnamrita, Bilba Mangal Thakur describes how Krishna meets his devotee. How does Krishna look when he meets his devotee? With peacock feather on his head, with mudra-cut jewels on his chest, and with his ever-enchanting smile, his restless eyes, and his very delicate body. That is how Krishna meets his devotee. Then another example. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 38th chapter, verse 34, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Prithvi, "My dear king, as soon as Akrura, the chariot driver, saw Lord Krishna and his elder brother Balaram in Vrindavan, he immediately got down from the chariot, and being greatly afflicted by affection for the transcendental Lord, he fell down upon his lotus feet to offer respectful obeisances." Well, these are some of the instances of perfectional meeting with Krishna. Perfectional meeting with Krishna involves eagerness. You remember Akrura driving toward Vrindavan? We talked about that yesterday, the day before. He was planning out in his mind, what's it going to be like when I get to Vrindavan? Surely I'll see Krishna. Surely Krishna will be like this, he'll be like that. He was just visualizing in his mind before he got there. And then what happened when he got to the outskirts of Vrindavan? He saw Krishna's footprints on the ground. And he jumped off of his chariot and began to roll in the dust of those footprints, crying out, how wonderful is this? How wonderful is this? Sometimes devotees do that. They jump out of the taxi as they enter Vrindavan and roll in the dust. You did it. Krishna's footprints, you see, are a stimulation for ecstatic love. We've discussed this. Krishna's footprints in Vrindavan are special, so everyone knows not to walk on them. Even the animals in the Bible don't walk on Krishna's footprints. And you may recall when Krishna left the gopis after they came to meet him in the middle of the night for the Rasa Lila. They began to track Krishna through the forest by looking for his footprints. So they found those footprints. They knew these are Krishna's footprints. This is the middle of the night with the moon shining. They found the footprints with the particular markings on the feet that Krishna's feet had. And so they followed them. And then they saw after a while another set of footprints join with Krishna's footprints. Oh, what's going on here? So, some of the cowherd girls there in the party that's rival to Srimati Radharani, and others are her assistants. So the ones who are the rivals, they were the ones who were expressing despondency. Who is this girl? These are girls' footprints. Krishna's not alone. Who is this devotee who's gotten more of Krishna's attention than us? The rival group, they say like that. The rival group, as you know, is led by Chandrava. And then, those who are in Srimati Radharani's group, they were happy to know that Krishna's dearest devotee was with him. So they deduced all this just by seeing footprints, because Krishna's footprints have markings, Radharani's footprints have markings. These are all described in the Shastra. So the gopis followed these footprints in the middle of the night with the moonlight, autumn night, and they saw, you know, the two sets of footprints walking together. And then they saw the second set of footprints disappear, and they knew what happened. Krishna's picked her up and put her on his shoulder. That's why there's only one set of footprints now. And they followed, they tracked the footprints more distance. And they said, ah, look at these footprints. We know what's happening. There's only half of Krishna's foot imprint there. That means he's leaning up on the tips of his toes in order to pick flowers for his beloved. That's why you only see half, the front half of his footprint on the ground. And then they walked a little further. And they saw a spot on the ground. We understand what's happening. Krishna is putting flowers in her hair. They're sitting on the ground. He sat on the ground and Krishna put flowers in her hair, crowning her as the queen of Vrindavan. Then they walked a little while longer, and they could also deduce what happened. Ah, we think that beloved of Krishna became proud. commanding it. Krishna, I cannot walk any longer. Please, you carry me. Krishna probably said he would do it, and then he disappeared. That's probably what happened. And in fact, all this proved to be true. As the gopis wandering in the night looking for Krishna came upon Srimati Radharani, heard the whole story. How apparently she had become caught up, feeling proud. Krishna, put me on your shoulder, take me wherever you like. Of course, there's not a question of pride, as we explained this morning. This is all the arrangement of the Lila Shakti, Krishna's personal pastime potency, which arranged the situation so that Krishna would leave and thus increase the separation of his devotees. Separation is very necessary for meeting. But in this chapter, you're hearing about ways of meeting Krishna. But in order to appreciate meeting Krishna, you have to appreciate separation from Krishna. Now let's go to the second category, the second class of meetings between Krishna and his devotees. That's called satisfaction. When does that happen? When a devotee meets Krishna after long separation, the meeting is one of satisfaction. Alright, so now we're going to get some examples of that. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 10, it is stated that when Lord Krishna returned to his capital, Dwarka, the inhabitants said, "Dear Lord, if you remain in foreign countries for so long, we shall certainly be bereft of seeing your smiling face. Upon observing your face, we, your eternal servitors, become greatly satisfied. All the anxieties of our existence are immediately mitigated. If we cannot see you because you are long absent from Dwarka, then it will be impossible for us to live anymore." This is an instance of satisfaction in meeting Krishna after long separation. Another example. Krishna's personal servant, Daruka, seeing Krishna at the door of Dwarka, forgot to offer him respects with folded hands. Now we'll go to the last classification, the third classification of meeting Krishna. When a devotee is ultimately situated in association with Krishna, his position is called steadiness in devotional service. That's the third category. It's perfection, satisfaction, and steadiness. This steady position in devotional service is explained in the book known as Hamsadutta. It is described there how Akura, who was considered by the gopis to be terror personified, would talk with Krishna about the activities of the Kuru dynasty. A similar steady position was held by Uddhava, the disciple of Brihaspati. He would always massage the lotus feet of Krishna while kneeling down on the ground before him. Speaking of Akura, why was Akura considered by the gopis to be terror personified? Because he was taking Krishna away to Mathura. And they felt it to be quite ironic. Akura means not cruel. And here he is in Vrindavan to perform the most murderous act upon us by taking Krishna away. They couldn't believe what's going on. Therefore, for them, Akura was terror personified, even though Akura means not cruel. They thought it was a horrible, tragic judgment. that someone named Akur is coming to take Krishna away. You can derive great solace and joy by just reading Nectar Devotion. And you should know that even though you may not understand everything, it's acting on your heart. You should have that confidence. Because Nectar Devotion is laying out before you the experiences of the full range of devotional practice, from beginning under rules and regulations to the ultimate attainment of pure love of God. It's all there in one book. So it will take you your whole life for fully relishing Nectar Devotion. As I was explaining to someone today, Krishna consciousness is a career. You shouldn't think you're going to master it in a few years. What's wrong with spending your whole life trying to get over me? What's wrong with spending your whole life hearing Nectar Devotion? All right, any questions?
Krishna has some quite unusual markings on his feet. Is there any significance to the particular markings on Krishna's feet?
Why are they unusual?
To my sense, it's like unusual.
Yeah, Krishna's markings on his feet. He's artistic. Srimati Radharani also has her markings on her feet. Everything about God is supremely artistic. There's always some detail about what Krishna has and why. But you can always be correct if you just understand. Because Krishna likes it. Why does Krishna wear a peacock there? Because he likes it. He's a person. Don't forget, Krishna's a person. He does things just because he likes to. In material consciousness, don't people? They like to act that way? Well, do it just because I like to. Remember that? Suit yourself? Everybody would nod their head. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Suit yourself. Do it because you like it.
But when Krishna does that, oh, wait a minute now. This is unusual. What's happening here? How can this be God? Doing things because he likes it. This is the mystical paradox about Krishna. He's Atmaram, self-satisfied. Yet he does things. He has no reason to do them. He doesn't have to add to himself. He's not lacking anything. He just does these things if he likes to. Why is Krishna known to wear a yellow dhoti? He likes to. Why blue feathers behind, blue flowers behind his ears? He likes. Krishna has desire, but he doesn't have any needs. What is material existence? You're full of desires and full of needs and always insufficient and incapable. Isn't it very uncomfortable immaterial existence, to have desires and you can't fulfill them. Remember what that feels like? Desires, you can't fulfill them. Even when you get what you want, your desires aren't fulfilled. Isn't that a horrible feeling? Remember what that feels like? You got exactly what you want and it doesn't satisfy you. So, you suffer by your desires. Whether you fulfill your desire or not, you're not satisfied. How many of you can remember a satisfied material desire? Meaning, the satisfaction lingered more than a few moments. Like, okay, I'm satisfied now. Let's just let the satisfied state go on. Didn't go on. Maybe you go on a holiday. You get into the holiday mood. Yes, this is it. Just kick back and just relax and just, yeah. Southern Shore of Spain. I got my charter flight from Manchester Airport now. I'm in Malaga. Just, yeah. You might have thought like that. Yeah, just let the flavor, the taste, the rush of just go on and on and on. But it never did it? Always something happened. Nothing could, it couldn't sustain. I always like to point out, you have to understand one golden rule in material existence. Just because you have a desire, what? That's the second half. Right. This is really a great breakthrough for people to understand. Just because you have a desire, big deal. Doesn't mean it's going to be fulfilled. But so many people think, I got a desire, therefore, it's going to be fulfilled. No! There's a complete separation between desire and the fulfillment. But most people are too spaced out and intoxicated to understand this difference. Most people in your intoxicated, bewildered condition think, I've got a desire, therefore fulfillment's on its way. Right? They cannot see that. Yeah, you can desire, but you will not be fulfilled. You'll just get the fleeting, superficial appearance of fulfillment at best. At best.
Krishna fulfills our desires.
Does
that have any
validity? Of course. Krishna is fair. Material nature, is it? But how does Krishna fulfill desires? If you approach Krishna with material desires, he'll fulfill them in such a way, in his own way, so that you'll never ask him for those things again. And instead you'll ask him for the shelter of his lotus feet. Krishna's an expert doctor. So he changes you up. It's like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj approached Krishna with a material desire. And then he realized, hey, what I want this material stuff for? I want Krishna. So Krishna takes your desire and transforms it through the process of bhakti. Therefore, the Shastra says, Akamo, Savakamava, Moksha Kama, Dadati, Tivrena Bhakti Yogi.
whether you are Akama, free from all material desires, Sarvakama, full of unlimited material desires, or Moksha Kama, your lust deep for liberation. Never mind. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, render devotional service to the Lord. The Krishna is a person. He knows how to handle your desires. Krishna's thinking. Lord Chaitanya explains this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's thinking. My devotee is coming to me with material desires. I'm not unintelligent. I know how to handle the situation. I'll fulfill those desires in a special way so that the devotee never asks again for me. And instead, the devotee will want the shelter of my lotus feet. Krishna's a person. That, when you hear that statement, Krishna fulfills all desires. What does that exactly mean? It's not like Krishna's some kind of machine, a vending machine, you know? He does it his way because he's a person. Through the process of devotional service, Krishna purifies your material desires into spiritual desires. Or did you think Krishna was some kind of automatic, you know, wish-fulfilling tree? In reference to what's mentioned in the second half of Nectar Devotion, relationship Rasa with Krishna. Don't, from your immature stage of Krishna consciousness, start imagining that, you know, you're Krishna's friend or Krishna's lover or Krishna's parent. First deserve, first accomplish the Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service according to rules and regulations. Don't prematurely try to jump to the higher level of devotion. That's has been my first deserve and desire. As you read Nectar Devotion year after year after year, natural spiritual desires will start to form, will start to arise in your heart. And you'll be attracted to hearing, especially about certain of Krishna's pastimes. That's a natural development. But don't push it artificially. Sometimes you hear young devotees say in a kind of sentimental way, "Oh, I just like this pastime. Or I just like this deed. I just like Jagannath." That's a nice sentiment, but there's nothing more to it than that. But after mature development in devotional service, the raga, the attraction for a particular relationship with Krishna and form of the Lord develops or arises from your heart. It's already there. You're dealing with Krishna, who is the master of desire. He's known as Yogeshwareshwara, the master of the masters of mystic power. The greatest mystic ability has to deal with desire.
Krishna is the desire master. When he blows his flute, that's to increase the desires of his devotees. So the gopis run out into the forest in the middle of the night. With Krishna's flute playing, he's stealing their minds. So they run out into the forest to reclaim the stolen property. And the Yogamaya potency knows how to create, how to paint the scene perfectly for Krishna to increase the desires of his devotees. The autumn moon, the red-tinged sky, the pleasant breezes, the gentle illumination of the moonlight on the flowers and trees in Vrindavan. It's all there to increase desire. And then Krishna looks at this autumn night and says, yes, it's the right time for desire. Even though he's self-satisfied and self-sufficient. You could be listening to that all day long. Can you imagine that? Guinness was telling me about the techno festival. Could you believe you used to go to those things to enjoy? You all used to go to those things? That wasn't your scene, you had some other kind of. You guys went to techno festival? Huh? Is that the highlight of the year? But then yesterday, saw how disgusting it all ends up. Yes, I remember. As a Sankirtan devotee, during the big music days of the 70s, they're much bigger than now, doing Sankirtan at concerts, these big arenas, I told you, 25,000 people. And seeing all the musicians that everyone would dream of seeing, but just thinking nothing of it. Let's hurry up and get out of here. the greatest for the devotees is just like, ah. Oh. Let's do this service and get back and chant Hare Krishna. You saw all the immortals because we were doing Sankirtan in the New York area, so all the big so-called immortals would always do these huge concerts in the New York area because the arenas were big and you'd easily get 25,000 people a night. So you would do those concerts. I told you how these arenas would have these inside, it had these huge bathrooms, like, 30 stalls. So you just wait outside the door of the bathroom, and as the people were going in, just, hey, take a look at this book. Then we got even more bold, and we just go inside the bathrooms as they were going to the stalls. We just. That was always the best spot to do before the concert started, the bathrooms. So as soon as we got in, you would go straight to the bathrooms. You have these kind of big arenas in England where they have these huge bathrooms inside? So the first thing, as soon as we got inside, we had tickets. Whoever it was, George Harrison, or Eric Clapton, or Sly and the Family Stone, whoever it was. First thing, go to the bathrooms. Which bathroom you have, Peru? I got the west one. Okay, I'll take the east one. It just stand there with a big bag of books. And everybody knew Hare Krishna. Ah, the Haris are here! And then once the concert started, we would go up and down the aisles. You couldn't go into the rows, it was too much of a disturbance. You just hit the people who were on the sitting on the aisles. And try to stay away from the ushers, try to throw you out. So you saw all the immortals who are immortal. But we weren't interested. The average young person would do anything to go to all the concerts we went to. We didn't care. So you got to see what you'd be doing if you weren't Krishna conscious. But you're very grateful for your opportunity. Really, what else is there to do in material life besides intoxication and illicit sex? What else is there to do? Not much else. What am I? Yeah. Just different circumstances, different packaging. They're the same old, same thing. That's all that's going on. It's Kali Yuga. Things aren't very subtle. Instead of that, you have the opportunity to try and understand Krishna. Take that opportunity very seriously. Use your time to understand Krishna. Be fascinated by Krishna. Why does he do these things? Who is he? What is his nature? That's what your time is meant for. Naturally, your attraction will revive. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.